telling you, Jesus was all about ministering in his power and his love against the kingdom of darkness, loving on people. Okay? And so Luke 5:17 is an example of this, a specific example of one of those days. He was teaching. Notice he was teaching first. Now I'm going to come back to that. The Word of God first. Words of Jesus first. That's important. Okay. There were also Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And so in order for this to happen, there was an email that went out to all the... They didn't have email. But I want to tell you something about country living before computers. Word travels fast. Okay? And so word had spread out that, you know what, we need to come check this guy out. And they weren't coming because they were excited about getting healed or getting touched by God. They were coming with a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit. All right? I was told by one of the guys that helped me grow up in ministry. He said, keep in mind that not everybody out there is clapping for you. Not everybody wants to see you succeed. Okay? And I thought, surely not. Boy, did I ever find out that that was true. So these people came, and they were judgmental and critical in their approach. All right? That's not the way to approach Jesus. That's not the way to approach God. All right? I've had the joy of speaking at a couple seminaries and a couple Bible schools, Christian colleges. I love it. That's a blast. But I want to tell you, even Christian high schools, they are some of the hardest places in the world I've ever preached. Ever preached. I'm just being honest with you that Christian schools tend to be very, very tough category to go minister and to go preach. And some of it has to do with they've heard it all. And they know something about routine. A routine can be a rut. And it's something that happens in their heart that'll happen in our heart if we hear the word and we don't respond to it. The heart doesn't get more tender. It gets harder. It gets calloused. And we can actually come to the place under teaching, under church, under Christian schooling, where that we worship him with our lips out of routine, but our heart becomes far from him. Now, I want to tell you, as much as I promote and believe in Christian schools, and we've got one coming right here, because we're for Christian schooling. But I want to tell you, there's a danger, same danger for you and for us and people in ministry, is for it to become a routine, a rut, and not a relationship. Okay. So I was preaching at this Christian college in another state. I'm not going to mention the state. In another state. And it got off to a great start. And I was preaching a revival that week at this Christian school. And it got off to a great start. And then I was in the ministerial class the next day, and it was kind of a Q&A. I shared a little bit, and they did a little Q&A session. And I noticed that this guy was being very agitated at me. And you could tell by his questions and by his response that he was not on the same team with me. He was very irritated. And I tried to really put him at peace and the class at peace, because it was pretty rough. And I told him, I said, it's okay that you don't agree with me. We don't have to. You don't have to. This is not a test of fellowship for you to agree with me. I'm just here wanting to minister Jesus to this school. And, you know, I just ask you to just be at peace about it. And, you know, I'm here not to offend anybody. I'm here to do my best presenting Jesus. And so anyway, but it didn't go too well. But before the week was over with, I think I finished through a week, but it was about Thursday night, during the meeting, because this guy came to the meetings, but you could tell, boy, the frown and the, and he had two or three, four people. He was gathering people around him, and after the meeting, they'd exchanging notes. And at that time, they were recording me on cassette, and they, oh, well, that's not important. But the deal is, on Thursday night, God got a hold of him. And, you know, broke him. I didn't say anything or do anything. I sure didn't react to his reaction. I was there for a higher calling than that. And so it's important that when you're following Jesus, it's like playing a ball game. You know, there's people up in the stands that are not cheering for you. There are people up in the stands that will be critical of you. And they will even holler things at you. And you know what? If you leave the football field and you go up in the stands and you start arguing with them and defending yourself, you lose. Do you understand? And so it's important in the ball game that you keep your focus on Jesus. It's about the game of life. And you keep your focus on Jesus, and you let those people in the stand say or do whatever they want to. That's between them and the Lord. Your part's to focus on the game. Boy, there's some life in that statement. That'll help you. That'll protect you. But sure enough, on Thursday night, I'm telling you, God was doing some neat things in that college, and we were seeing some sweet things happening, and the crowd was growing. People in the community and other churches around were coming. Because the word got out that God was really up to something that week. And this guy got broken during the meeting. And I mean, I was up preaching. It wasn't invitation time. I was up preaching. And I saw him coming from back, the back. And because I've got a little bit of experience on me, when he came, he would go like this and he would broken. And I do this. Okay? You learn to do this, not to do this. If you do this, they can put the hurt on you, okay? If they're coming to hug you or whatever. So I put my arms down and he wrapped me up, big guy. And man, he was just bawling and squalling. I mean, he was really broken. And he said, I had the mic on, and he said, because the mic caught it, he said, I hated you at the first of the week. But I saw God on you. And God broke my heart. And I want to tell you, that was very beautiful. And I want to tell you, real sweet things happened after that. Because the guys that he were talking to, see, I want to tell you, the Lord did a real sweet thing in that school. But Jesus faced that. And if you minister Jesus, you minister the Word, you're going to face persecution. Okay? God will deliver you from a lot. But I want to tell you something. It's Bible that if you present the Word of God, present Jesus, you will suffer persecution. And so it's kind of like Paul, you know, he can pray to be rescued from persecution, but the deal is, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. So are you suffering any persecution? Well, okay. Listen to this. They had come from every village, town of Galilee and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. Do you see them? How many? The power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal how many? That's what I say too. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? I want to tell you something. You know, the very ones that came with a critical spirit, with a judgmental spirit, the ones that came to question and to try to get evidence to nail him or to prove him wrong, the power of God was there to heal them. The very ones. Now, I want to tell you, if we could go back and interview those guys, I mean to tell you, they were in their religious garb and they were looking very spiritual and very religious and had high profile in the religious community, and they were there, big shots. But I want to tell you, if you had interviewed them, you would have gone along and said, anything wrong with you? Anything wrong with you? You'd have gotten a whole list of ailments. And the presence and the power of the Lord was there to heal them. Only one got healed. Now get this, the power and the presence of the Lord was there to heal them, but there was only one him that got healed. Okay? A lot of people got touched by the Lord. Okay? I'm not disqualifying that. But they came to hear and to judge, not to be healed. Okay, I want to tell you the greatest approach to Father is Abba Father. It's Hello Daddy. Okay, I shared that with a number of ministers this morning. I try to minister to a number of ministers on Sunday morning because I know how Sunday mornings can be a battle. And so I try to send words of the word and encouragement to a number of ministers on Sunday morning because I know what the battle's like. But I want to tell you, it's important to approach him with Hello Daddy. It's not by our performance. It's by relationship. And you just come, Hello Daddy. And let him love on you and let him minister to you. That's our approach. Now, in more than one place, this order was presented. And it says in a number of places that Jesus went about preaching and teaching and healing. You say, there's a significance to the order of that. I hesitate to use the word pattern because when I use the word pattern, I found out that people, humans, want to take pattern and wrap themselves around pattern and make it do or make it work. And we tend to circle and focus on pattern instead of the person of Jesus. And so I hesitate to use pattern, but I really want to, so I'm going to use the word order. But when Scripture gives a certain order, we need to pay attention to it. Okay? And so there's an order about Jesus preaching and teaching and then healing. Hearing first. Now, I've bugged people. I've appealed to people to hear the message. Listen to the message. I'm not promoting myself. I'm promoting the message. But listen to the message over and over again. You say, well, Brother Tim, we've already heard you say it over and over again. We've already heard it over and over again. But see, that's where it's caught. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay? Are you operating in faith for what you're believing for? What are you believing for? Because if you're not hearing it, you don't get faith for it. Is it that plain and that simple? Yes, it is. Let's practice hearing. Hear the word. Hear the message. Listen to it. Absorb it. Embrace it. Get it over and over again. Meditate on the word over and over again. We have faith for what we hear, and all the saints said. So Jesus was teaching, and his power was present to heal. And he's there in person. Only one that we see was healed. But his power was present. I'm saying to you, today he's here by his Spirit. The power of the Lord is present to heal everyone here. Okay? 17 times we see in Scripture where Jesus was ministering, and the Bible specifically says all that were there, we're talking multitudes, all that were there were healed. I've never seen that yet in meetings that I'm a part of. But that doesn't mean that the power is not present to heal everyone here. The power is present because of him. The power of the Lord is here. Not everybody receives. God gives us Holy Spirit, his word, that we might know that we what has been freely given to us is the grace of God. He has provided his grace to us from God. That's what Jesus won for us. And the blessings of God are not earned. By grace they've been provided. And so they've been freely given. But I'm here to say, just because it's been freely given doesn't mean that it's cheap. Because Jesus paid a great price. He paid more of a cost than you can ever even imagine. His son's blood paid for it. And healing's a part of that. God's freely given healing, but we haven't freely received healing. Okay? And so I want to tell you, the problem's not with God. The problem is with us. I had someone tell me not too long ago that I was praying for. And they just told me, Brother Tim, I've done everything I know to do. I've done everything right. And God still hadn't healed me. I said, well, I love you. Okay, but I also know you're human. Okay, so when it comes down to something like this, I'm on God's side. Do you understand? I'm on God's side. let's face the fact, the Bible fact here, Jesus has done everything for our healing. By his stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. We have trouble receiving it. We have to learn to receive. There's different things that can block us from receiving. All right? But the deal is, it's not on God. And so don't blame God or put it on God if you haven't received the answer to your prayer, or if you haven't received your healing, or if you haven't received your rescue. Don't put it on God. There's a reason for us to seek him. All right? And he says, blessed are those that seek. But the deal is, I'm going to be on God's side. You need to be on God's side, even when it comes to you. Amen, Brother Tim. I'm trying to help you with this, because really and truly, we get in this turmoil thing like a termite in a yo-yo where we just don't know. And so the easiest thing to do is to blame God. Well, he'll heal me when he gets ready. No, he already has. Okay, but there's a deal with timing. Even when we pray, there's a situation of timing. He said, when you pray believing, you've received. When you pray, you receive. Okay? But there's a difference between praying the prayer and the answer arriving. It may just be a few minutes. It may be a few seconds. It may be a few months. It may be a few years. But you know what? That's what we don't do, because the Bible says pray believing. When you pray that you receive it, you receive it. And so the deal is, you know what? You can receive it and it not arrive yet. We ought to know about this. You get on the computer and you buy something, and the delivery service, you know, you say, hey, I got so-and-so, and this is, you know, hadn't arrived yet, but it's on the way. And they even got a tracking number. Okay, the deal is with God is that we don't see the tracking number. But when God says something, his word is true. When God promises something, his promise is true. Hey, I'm announcing to you that when God puts his promise, his covenant, when he says something in the word, it is true and it is fact. Now, anything that doesn't line up with that has got to be on our end. There's all kind of variables. Okay, one example we got in Scripture is just the demonic darkness forces can hinder and do battle. Okay, we know that's true. We saw that in Daniel, right? Where he prayed, and there was 21 days before. And the Bible specifically says, God said, when you pray, the angel said, when you pray, God sent the answer. But I've been in battle for 21 days. And so we know that there can be some delay as far as spiritual. There can also be some delay on our part. We can pray believing when we pray that we receive and receive. And then we can go into unbelief. Am I right? Oh, come on, don't look so spiritual, okay? Be with me on this, okay? I preach shorter if you're with me on this. But what happens is that we can pray and believe, and then, you know, we don't see a result immediately. I don't feel different. Well, you know what we think about that? It's not based on our five senses. It's based on what God says. But if we're going to base our response and our answer on emotions, well, emotions can turn you every which way but loose. And we get the emotion, I don't feel different. I'm hurting worse. I'm discouraged more. And then we can go into unbelief. We'll say, well, it didn't work for me. Well, that's unbelief. That can shut it down. That can stop the process. Amen, Brother Tim. Because it's by faith. Okay. Help you. It's by faith. Okay. And so we need to practice freely receiving. We don't know how to freely receive. And that's what this series is about. It's about freedom life, is to learn how to receive and practice receiving. Sometimes we're just busy trying to earn it. Okay? And, well, if I do this long enough and I do this enough and I'm successful enough at this, God's got to bless me. No, that's works. And you can be in church and be familiar with grace and faith and still operate in works. As a matter of fact, you can be sitting right beside someone and one be in faith and one be in works. God, Jesus does not bless works. Not when you're trying to earn it to do what he... You know, that's anti-Christ. Boy, that's a strong statement, isn't it? It's anti-Christ to try to suffer and earn what Jesus has already suffered and paid for. Don't try to add to it with your suffering or with your works or... Do you understand what I'm saying? That's saying that what Jesus paid wasn't enough. And so I'm going to knuckle down here and I'm going to make this happen. Well, that's anti-Christ. Because Christ says it's by grace. Freely, unmerited favor, which means you can't earn it. Okay? We receive it because of what he earned. God does not force people to receive salvation. And so the question is, it's not whether just because your body's here doesn't mean you're receiving. That was true in Jesus' day, wasn't it? Those professional religious people were there in great number, but they were not receiving. Their heart was not in receiving, it was in judging. And so Jesus doesn't force people to receive salvation. He doesn't force people to receive healing. He doesn't force people to receive blessing. He doesn't force people into receiving a manifestation of his presence. God respects our free choice, but his power is present. And we must choose to receive. He will bring you living water, but he doesn't make you drink it. Or Brother Tim, how do you explain? I don't know why everyone's not healed. There's a lot of examples probably. I'm a learner or maybe a slow learner, but let me help you with this because this helped me and hopefully this will help you. Not everybody I share Christ with accepts Jesus. I can't force them. Man, I'm so careful about it now because I used to pick some green fruit, you know. Can you think of any reason to say no right now? Well, pray with me. I mean, tell you, just work them into it. No, I'm at the place now saying, is Jesus saying this to your heart? Is this something you choose? I'm not pressuring you. It's got to be your choice. Okay, to pray and accept Christ. But not everybody I share Christ with accepts Christ. Does that mean that God has already rejected them? No, he died for the whole world. He's already paid the price for the whole world to accept him. He paid the price for the sins of the whole world. And so, they have a choice to say no. Well, I'm here to say to you that that applies in every other situation. Some are saved, some are not. Some say yes, some say no. But Jesus died for the whole world's sin. They were poured on him. But only those that received him are forgiven. They receive the forgiveness that he already paid for. Only those that receive him. The ones that say yes, they, and repent, they receive the benefits. See, God has a plan of order. You hear his word. The Holy Spirit shows you the truth in his word. We're to renew our mind and surrender our heart to his words. Faith comes by hearing and hear the word of God. There's all kinds of ways that we can apply this. For example, and some people don't do it. Like, for example, the word of God. I am telling you, we are a Christian. This, it's got to be spiritual food for you. And you've got to be willing to eat it yourself and serve it yourself to yourself. Okay, before you can minister it to others, which is why we're here. I'm telling you, he's called us to be disciples, and disciples are to make disciples, and disciples are ones that are disciplined in his word. We eat up his word. It's eating him. It becomes, you take this word in, and it becomes a part of your metabolism of you. I'm telling you, incorruptible seed is so exciting. But, you know, we got to be people of the word. This is more than just having a verse of the day. Come on. Oh, I'm not beating up a verse of the day, but we need verses of the day. Okay, because we got to eat up the word. How about meditating on his word? Man, that's where life is. It's when you take and you chew on that word. And when you chew and meditate and feast on his word and you picture him in the word, his words and his works, the Holy Spirit shows you himself, shows you yourself. It becomes life to you. when you meditate. That's digesting that word. It's not just tasting it. It's digesting it. When you meditate, a lot of Christians don't know how to meditate on the word. You know, we've helped some people that were they were sexual addicts become free by teaching them how to meditate on Jesus in the word. The power that comes with that. There's promises in the word that you will be a success if you meditate on God and his word. How about prayer? I'm telling you, if the only time you pray is when you got food sitting in front of you, you're missing out. Okay? Hey, I did a series on this about how to pray Jesus style. But in that series, I shared a simple little truth that has helped more people from what I've heard back from. And it's a simple little truth about the whole series is that really about 90% of your prayer life needs to be love life with Jesus. I'm telling you, if this will be like your prayer life, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm enjoying you. Lord, what do you think about this? And Lord, it was so sweet the way you said this and you did this. I saw you in your word do this. Lord, I'm excited about that. And you're loving on the Lord and you're blessing the Lord. And you carry on just loving Jesus and enjoying Jesus. See, that's love life. And then you work in and, oh yeah, Lord, I need to be touched in this area. And I got a need over there. Lord, I'm so thankful you provided. And Lord, I know that that's temporary. Lord, you love me too much. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I want to tell you, if that's your heartbeat, and if that's your, if prayer is your love life expression to the Lord, and you're loving Him in the Word, and you're meditating on Him, and you're delighting in Him in the Word, and in your prayer life, you're loving the Lord, I mean like 90% is just loving and enjoying Jesus. You know what? Your focus is not on your problems. You go right into Thanksgiving. And you celebrate and honor and glorify the Lord, and you're thankful, and He's showing you what all He has done. You're not focused on what you don't have. You're celebrating who you are in Christ and what all you do have in Him, and it changes us. And then when you pray, oh yeah, Lord, I got this need. I want to just thank you ahead of time for this. I present this to you, and Lord, while I'm up, I take authority over the darkness. Take his hand off of that. I speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. I claim your word over this. You always lead me into triumph. And you go back into thanksgiving and praise. And you would be amazed how many prayers are answered by accident versus what you used to do on purpose. Wow, I've been wanting to say that for a while. But you know what people tell me? They say, I don't have time. I just don't have time. I've had people tell me up front, right there to my face, you know, I just don't have time for that. Would you just pray for me? I want Jesus to help me so I can get on with my life. I can't think of a time where I told someone no, because that's kind of aggravating, you know? You're trying to point him to life, and I don't have time for that Jesus stuff. Just pray for me. I just want Jesus to touch me so I can get on with what I've been doing. But I'm here to tell you, I still pray for him. Because I want to tell you, God so loved. And God loves now. And I want to tell you something about this little guy that they brought in that was paralyzed. And they brought in. You know, he probably hadn't been in the Word. I bet his friends had. I bet his friends had heard the words of Jesus. Okay? And they had faith. Faith cometh by hearing the words of Jesus. And so they heard the words of Jesus and they had faith for him. All right? And now, I'm here to tell you this. So, you know, there's times that, you know, what we're to do, what the Bible says, we're just to love on people and to lay hands on them and to pray for them. That's our part. We're just to love them and pray over them. Well, he's a mess. Well, I'm not talking about you personally. But what I'm saying, you know, our mind can say, well, he's a mess. He needs to clean himself up first. No. Uh-uh. No. 1,000 times no. Jesus loves people right where they are. And you know what he's told us to do? To go love on people. So, yeah, you know, this guy's a mess and things ain't right. Jesus said, lay our hands on people and pray for them, and that they would be healed. It ain't about deserving. It's about being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Do what he says. Here's a guy here that's an absolute mess, but you know what? Hey, the Spirit of the Lord's prompted me. Jesus has commanded me. Tell him about me. And so I'm telling them what Jesus has done for me. I'm pointing them to the Word of God. I'm pointing out Jesus in the Word. That's what we're to do. Jesus is the one that does the saving. Jesus is the one that does the healing. Jesus is the one that does the blessing. Our part is just to do it. I remember there was a guy that I was ministering at another place, and there was a guy that came up, and you could tell he was miserable. I mean, his face was all contorted, and he'd come up, and I tried to talk to him a little bit, and he was agitated. I mean, he was mad. He had a mad going on. He looked like someone that was a boot looking for somewhere to kick, okay? He was mad and irritated. And I just told him, man, what's up? He said, man, my head's hurting so bad, I just threw up in there. He said, my head's killing me. He said, I need help with this headache. And I said, well, okay. I said, have you ever given your life to Jesus? He said, no. I said, well, are you interested? He said, no, I'm really not. I'm not. I'm hurting. I just need my head helped. I said, okay. I prayed over him. Same way I would pray for anybody else. Lord Jesus, I just surrender this man to you. I renounce the pain in his head. I claim freedom and liberty. And I just release the kingdom of God on him. I confess in Jesus' name, pain go away. He sat there for a minute. He looked up, and I said, how's the pain? He said, it's gone. I said, great. He said, yeah, this is great. I said, well, what about Jesus now? He said, I want him. And we did. We prayed, and he received Christ right there. Now, that's similar to power evangelism. And Jesus is showing his disciples about power evangelism here. And I want to tell you, he loves to manifest his love. His love and his power hold hands. And the Lord loves to love on people. We receive of the Lord because of who he is. Jesus came and he's given us the Bible to show us Father, a loving Father, and how to have love life with him. And we receive because of who he is. He loves too much. I'm telling you, the law of gravity is true. If you want to test it, we can set up an example for you to test the law of gravity. But it's true every time. But I want to tell you, there is a greater law. And the greater law is the law of aerodynamics. And the law of aerodynamics supersedes the law of gravity. Do you understand that? And that's what happens. We're to believe his words. Listen, there are some laws on planet Earth and has to do with humans. And I want to tell you, those things are real and you can't change. But there are greater laws, and that's in the Word of God. That's in the kingdom of God. That's why we're to get in the Word of God and see what God wants. He supersedes. And he wants to do that in your life. He manifests his love and his power. They hold hands. God just wants to love on you. Now, there's an order. I'm pointing out this order thing. I saw this last year and made notes about it. But last year, when I was doing some studying about David, because I want to preach on David sometime, I was doing some study on David, and you know, when they were getting the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, back from the Philistines, the Philistines said, you know, we got to get this out of our, this is causing us all kind of problems, okay? And the presence of God without receiving God, I'm telling you, it can be, I just don't have time to go there. I'd love to. I'll do that in a series of David. But it goes like this. They were getting the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, away from them. And it was on a wagon, and it was going. And so here it comes over into God's land, and they're seeing it come, and they're so excited. And as they're coming along, the ox stumbles, and the ark tilts over. And look, one of the guys reaches up, puts his hand on it to steady it, kills them instantly. Well, that stopped the party. I mean, that shut down the party. The atmosphere changed. And so basically, they parked the Ark of the Covenant nearby. Just get it over there. Let's go back home. Let's figure out what we did wrong. And so from what I could see, David studied the Word of God for 3 months. before he figured out, wrong order. Ark of the Covenant is to be carried on the shoulders of the priest, not on a wagon with an ox. So, they go back. God's order. Shoulder of the priest. Able to bring it into the... You see what I'm saying? Great victory. Okay? Divine order. So let's go back and look at this. Are you ready? Luke 5, 18 and 19. Behold, some of the men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to carry him in to lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in. I want to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day where there's such a crowd that people can't get in. Okay? I'm going to have Pat out there, Kyle out there, saying, next service in 2 hours. Okay? They couldn't get him in because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and they lowered him in, this stretcher, through the tiles and the mist coming down in front of Jesus. So here's the friends. There's a lot of friends here. I'm here to say to you, there's a lot of power in this room. There's a lot of love in this room. You say, well, I'm not really feeling it. Well, you know, get off the feeling thing. This is fact. If you know Jesus, Jesus is in you. The Spirit of the living Christ is in you. And I did a series on this, the spirit, soul, and body thing, to try to help people understand. You're not praying to a God way up there where you got to raise your voice and holler and try to get his attention and plead and beg. No, no, no. He's right here. The Spirit of the living Christ dwells in your spirit. Full measure of the body of Christ in here. And so I'm telling you, we got a number of believers right here. You know how much power is in this room? The living Christ is right here. Resurrection life, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, is in every single person in this room. There's a lot of power in this room. You ever thought about it? Hey, listen to this. There's a lot of love in this room. There's enough love and power in this room to go affect a community for Christ. Wherever you go, the love and the power of Jesus goes with you to touch people and to minister to people and to help people. Someone's going to come up to you this week and say, man, I'm really hurting. Let me pray for you. What? I'm just going to pray for you real quick. Just going to pray for you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuke this pain and I speak health and healing on this person. There you go. Don't have to be a long prayer. Don't have to be a loud prayer. Okay? And so I'm telling you, that's our part. Somebody going to come and share a problem with you. Man, I'm just so discouraged. Hey, look, let me share a word with you I got this morning in my quiet time, and I'm going to share this with you. And while we're talking, have you ever given your life to Christ? Because that's easy to do. Jesus paid the price for us just to receive him. You see what I'm saying? This is exciting. This is what it's about. There's a lot of friends in this room, and the power and the love of Jesus is in you. Okay, so present the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, go present the kingdom of God. This is exciting stuff. Go present the kingdom of God. Jesus sees faith. I'm telling you, if you'll just look to the Lord, we're not talking about living in doubt. Would you live in faith? Because Jesus sees faith. The little woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she sneaked up behind Jesus and reached out there, got down on her hands and knees and reached up there and just touched the tip of his garment. The tip of his robe. Disciples all around him didn't even notice her. Jesus wasn't looking at her, but he saw faith. And I want to tell you, he sees faith today. See, where's the condition of your heart? What are you believing God for? Are you standing in faith? Are you parked in doubt? Because I want to tell you, that's something that we can change by being in the Word of God. Because when we practice hearing and digesting the Word of God, faith springs forth. All right? And so I'm telling you, this is available for us. Jesus saw faith in these men, and he was touched by them. Look at verse 20. And when he saw their confidence in him springing from their faith, he said the answer to their prayers. He ministered the answer to their faith, their desire. And he spoke to the root of the matter, first things first. It went like this: man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, you take a look at verse 20, and I want you to catch this with me. When heaven looks at New Beginnings Fellowship, what does Jesus see? Wait. When Jesus looks at your family, When Jesus looks at you, what does he see? Does he see that we have grown in our confidence in him? And we are absolutely just springing forth and overflowing in our heart in faith toward him. Is that what he's seeing? Because I want to tell you, when he sees that, things happen. His words become manifested when he sees in our hearts that we have confidence in him and our faith is overflowing in him. His word is manifested. Your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees begin to reason and question and argue, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Let's all say together, religious reasoning. Well, I'm telling you, religious reasoning is antichrist. Religious reasoning is antichrist. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts and questions, answered them, why do you question in your heart? Now, sometimes I deal with people, and some people have a tendency to have more questions than other people. There are some people that are naturally bent on just questions. They got to have everything explained, want to know to the detail. Well, I want to tell you, that does warfare against your faith. And I want to tell you a simple answer here, and I have the gift of simplicity, and if you're one that has this problem, you're probably not going to like what I got to say, but it works. You need to take your questions and just surrender them to Jesus. Lord, I surrender. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to know about it all. I don't have to understand everything. Lord, it's by faith. I just believe in you. I trust in you. I have confidence in you. I don't know how it's all going to happen step by step, how it's going to work out. But I'm here this morning declaring, I submit my questions to you. You're my answer. And I surrender. And then let God be God. Now that is freedom. I know I've prayed with a number of people to do that. That makes a tremendous difference. Surrender your questions. Say yes to the Lord. Yield yourself. Humble yourself. It's not based on your understanding by itself. It's based on your faith. So which is easier to say? And let me finish with this. He asked him, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you? Or to say, rise up and walk? Well, which is easier? Well, the invisible is easier to say. Right? It's easier to look at someone and just say, well, it's your sins are forgiven you, than it is to say to someone that's been on a mat for years, did you get up and walk? That's easier to say. But I want to tell you, the inward is the greater miracle. You understand that? Forgiveness is the greater miracle. Okay? The physical healing was the outward proof that their inner miracle is true. Did you get that? But that you may know, this is what Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power of authority and the right on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, because he's already said to him, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, I say to you, rise up, pick up your stretcher, and go to your own house. That you may know. So he's telling all these religious experts that are so upset and disturbed and have their questions and their religious reasoning. He's saying to them, here's a miracle to verify my authority to forgive sins. He said, get up. He didn't say that he was showing his power to heal. He was showing his power to forgive. And so that's why you've heard us say that healing is like the dinner bell that Jesus used to draw people to God, to draw people to forgiveness. That's the bridge moment. And so I want to make this very personal to you. And it goes like this. The key to receiving your healing is receiving your forgiveness. Understand forgiveness. That's why we go back to the cross. That's why that little picture of the wheel that I've shown you, forgiveness is the inner part of the wheel. It's the wheel of the wheel. It's forgiveness. And so it's about atonement. It's about the gift of righteousness. And church people, don't forget. Don't forget, forget to realize your forgiveness of sins. And I say that because we tend to do that. We tend to do it. Let me announce to you, your forgiveness is not a temporary forgiveness. That would make a difference, wouldn't it? It's not a temporary forgiveness based on how well you do this week. It's not a partial forgiveness. that you've forgiven about everything except the one that nobody knows about. No, it's not like that. We have redemption of sins through Christ Jesus. It's lifetime forgiveness. Do you get that? It's lifetime forgiveness. And part of the problem is this, is that we practice remembering. We got to practice remembering and capturing in our heart, making fresh in our heart, not routine, fresh in our heart, that, you know what, I'm totally and completely forgiven. And based on my total and complete forgiveness, that's my right to receive everything else from the Lord, is based on my forgiveness. If the enemy can trap you or trick you into condemnation or illegal guilt, then I tell you, it sabotages everything else that God wants you to have. Because the legal right to receive is, oh, I don't deserve that, I don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. No one does, but through Jesus we do. But this is why it becomes this battle of belief and unbelief. It's hard for you to have faith to believe for healing when you're feeling guilty about a lie that the enemy's brought to you. You see that? Here's a little example. Someone I met with a few months ago, and they've got a long-term illness. And I shared with them, you know what? I meet with a number of people. I minister to a number of people. But if you tell me that you want me to be a part of your healing journey, I'll commit myself to meeting with you on a regular basis. And we'll go through the Word together, and I'll pray with you. And you know what? I'll walk with you through this healing journey. We can do this together. Well, Brother Tim, I don't understand what you're asking. I said, you know, let's go back and study the cross. That's where we all start. It's from forgiveness. Let's help recognize and receive, practice receiving that you're completely and totally forgiven. And it removes the rights, it removes the questions and the doubts of you not receiving. It helps you understand that Jesus qualified you to receive. And when you get to the place where you understand that this is God's gift and this is God and His promise and His authority, then it can make a difference in your receiving. Oh, Brother Tim, I don't understand what you're saying. If you're saying to me that there's something I'm not doing or something I need to start doing, then you just need to tell me. I said, okay. Okay. I said, I'm talking about going back to forgiveness, the cross, and the blood, and recognizing total forgiveness and the authority of Jesus. I already know about the cross. I've been going to church all my life. I already know about the cross. I said, okay. Okay, but I'm telling you the principle of first things first is forgiveness. And I want to tell you, when we capture that and we have a revelation, see, it's more than a head knowledge. What I couldn't get this person to understand, it's not a head knowledge about Jesus died on the cross. It's a revelation of what He did on the cross that's for you. That's got your name on it. And you know what? It becomes covenant. And a covenant is a promise from God, and He always keeps His promise. That's why that we can stand on what He says and proclaim it, even if we don't see it physically or even if we don't feel it emotionally. We can stand and proclaim His promise because His promise will come to pass. He wants our cooperation, but our part, He's already done the big part. Our part is to agree and to operate in faith. And that's something that the Holy Spirit will help each one of us do. Let's be a people that when Jesus looks at us, He sees those friends. That, you know what? We're a people that spring forth faith and confidence in Jesus no matter what this world presents. No matter what a doctor says. Are you with me? I had to tell someone this week, you know what? Don't let what that doctor said to you be your calendar. You let get a word from Jesus about what your calendar is, what He wants to do. A doctor is going to present to you the worst case scenario. I'm not down on doctors. That's what they're trained to do, to present the worst case scenario. I'm telling you, you get a Dr. Jesus word. and let's stand on the Word of God. And let's let the Holy Spirit make that personal and real to you, because a word from Jesus is concrete, it's foundation. The Bible says that this whole universe consists by His Word. By His Word. If His Word can keep it, His Word can make it. And so that's why I'm telling you, where's your heart? Let's not be professional Christians where we have these questions. We have this religious persona. We have this religious hypocrisy or criticism or the religious questioning. Let's be more like a child and say, "Hello, Daddy." Hello, Daddy. We approach Him, "Hello, Daddy." That's a good way to approach Him. Because our righteousness is not based on us, it's based on Jesus. He qualifies you to receive this morning.